Welcome to IIFX Workplace Spectate podcast series. Today, the first of a concept that subject we're going to talk about is the fan journey. It is the experience. And today's guest is Harry Heinkamp. He's the Vice President of Guest Experience for AMB Sports and Entertainment. Harry, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Luke. Great to be here.
Harry, explain to everybody AMB Sports and Entertainment.
Yeah, so it's a collection of Arthur Blank's businesses. So that's the AMB, Sports and Entertainment. And it consists of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the Atlanta Falcons, and Atlanta United Soccer Club as well.
Well, how did you get involved with them and what's your professional background?
Yeah, so my background, so I'll give you a little bit of everything. I started my background on the finance side with Coopers and Lybrandt way back in the day. So I'm dating myself a little bit. Then I worked, consulting doing that. Then I worked for Mercedes-Benz North America. It was a different company then, selling maybe, 50,000 cars. Worked there for a number of years. Today they sell over, 300,000-400,000 cars. So big difference. And then for 10 years, I was in the music business in New York City, Bertelsmann Music, and basically got involved in everything on the music business side. So I'm dating myself a little, but everything from singles all the way up to the digital transformation to iTunes. So working with artists, publishers, from the different perspectives on the music side of the business. Did that for about 10 years. Then I got a chance to go back to Mercedes-Benz. Now a company, this is post the Daimler-Chrysler merger, 26,000 people at retail, 360 dealers. And I, over the course of a 18-year career, got to play a number of different roles. One was leading the project management office for a CEO for a number of years. Then a new CEO came in, and I was the head of learning and performance, or the chief learning officer, for a number of years. And then got a chance to be the first ever general manager, the leader, chief customer officer for Mercedes-Benz USA for a number of years. And help transform that experience to the best in the business, according to J.D. Power. And then for the last five plus years, I've been working here with AMB Sports and Entertainment. And look.
Well, Harry, you brought all this experience to AMB, and you really mapped out this fan journey and its experience. How did you map it out? I know you found some touch points. And explain to everybody your overall processes.
Sure. Yeah. So one of the first things I did when I joined, AMB Sports and Entertainment was to really get a lay of the land of what the fan, customer, guest journey is. And we really opened up the aperture, Lou, like from the standpoint of thinking, 365 days a year, our season ticket members are members of our club, of our team, our family, so to speak. So what does that experience look like? As well as just planning for a season, right? All the way down to planning for a match or a football game. And from a football game perspective, thinking about it from the moment, the morning of the match to, driving towards the stadium to, leaving the stadium and heading home after a win, so to speak, right? So we really took a long, perspective in terms of what are all the different touch points that are out there across the year, as well as on a single match day. And across the year, just to give you a perspective, football is played obviously September through February, right? As an example, but all the way from February up through August, there are different elements and touch points, right? So you have the draft, you have the schedule release, right? You have, the camps, the OTAs, et cetera. Those are all moments to have touch points with your fans, guests, customers as well, and connect them to once they actually come on site, to experience the game either at Mercedes-Benz Stadium or, they take an away game, right? So we definitely looked at all those micro elements and moments. And if you just counted on event day, I think when we tallied it all up, you could think of more than 150 different potential, points where you can either make it a great experience or you could, satisfy or dissatisfy, right? So, and then looking at those, really, being honest with ourselves and saying, here's where we're great, here's where we've got opportunities, and then prioritizing those, right? We took a really diligent look from the fan, journey perspective.
But, you and I have been together now for a year or so talking about this, but it starts with the word culture, doesn't it? And what is a culture? What is a culture that provides an outstanding hospitality, you know?
Yeah, so there's that great quote, you know, from Peter Drucker, you know, culture eats strategy for breakfast, but eats it for lunch and dinner and every in-between meal as well, right? And so culture is the foundation of everything. And culture is represented in everything that you do. And you either invest and, you know, think about how you continuously evolve and innovate your own culture, or you leave it to chance. Either way, culture is going to appear, right? And so... Yes. And if you don't focus on it, it's like, you know, it's like not having standards, right? Either you have high standards or you don't have standards, right? And even if you don't have standards, you actually do have standards. They're just really low. Yeah. You haven't defined them. So what I would say about culture is it shows up everywhere. It's obviously in the way, you know, we treat one another, shared beliefs, how we're connected, how we're unified around a goal. But it's all in all your policies, your procedures, your process. It's in how you set up meetings. It's in your benefits, how you roll out benefits packages, right? It's how you show up in terms of learning and development. It's about succession planning. So whether it's HR, IT, payroll, finance, marketing, sales, service, culture shows up in all the different aspects of your business. And either you're going to be really earnest and honest around it and work on it. And that's one thing that we absolutely do. We're great at listening and responding. And so, you know, whether it's skip level meetings that we do with our team members, sure, an annual cultural survey, but, you know, in a fast paced environment like sports and entertainment, you can quickly get a sense of how healthy is your team, right? So if you take care of your team, they'll take care of your customers. We are, you know, we're focused on creating a great place to work from all aspects, you know, of our associate experience, because we know we count on them because they make or break the experience, right? So they will absolutely take care of our customers. And there's no way, there's a strong linkage, right, right, Lou, to being a great place to work, which we are. We are a great place to work as certified, as well as being delivered the best fan experience in the NFL, yeah. You know, which we achieved this past year.
You know, right below.
It doesn't spontaneously combust, Lou. You got to work on it.
No, you're right. All right, it starts with culture, but then right underneath culture, my opinion would be core values to support that culture. What you know, you mentioned that too in many presentations, etc. So explain to everybody what your values are that are important to you.
Sure. When you think about core values, so we're thankful because with Arthur, I mean, he built, you know, the Home Depot with Bernie Marcus around, you know, the same core values, which for us are give back to others, put people first, listen and respond, yeah. Include everyone, innovate continuously, and lead by example. It's those six simple core values. And look, for anybody who wants to see the secret sauce, I would recommend Arthur's latest book called Good Company. It kind of gets into Arthur's whole perspective in terms of creating great cultures, right, that take care of teams, that are, enable them to, you know, deliver, you know, amazing experience, products, services, and so forth. But those core values are something that we can all align on, that we can all commit to, we can all connect to. It creates unity, right? And so if you think about, you know, just anything out there, so, you know, any cause that someone is involved in, or any great organization that really is making a difference, making a change, or any, you could even think about, you know, different types of social initiatives. Those organizations that are moving on the, some of the most biggest challenges in the world. I think of Arthur's Foundation. They tackle problems that the rest of the world, you know, has struggled with, right? Whether it's, you know, on the environment, whatever it might be. The reason why great organizations can move forward is because they create unity, they create connectedness, and that's all based around core values, right? And a core mission and purpose. And for me, you know, passion, purpose, creating value, profits, that's the key to success for our business and in personal life.
Yeah. Well, there are people watching this podcast who may be taking over or involved in a stadium or arena environment. And he's excited about what you said about the culture and values. Where do they start? I'm sitting as a vice president of guest services, Stadium X. I don't have what you have. I attended your games. I really like what's going on at Falcons games. What do I need to do to start from scratch in a way? Because I don't have this.
Yeah. So Yeah, I totally get it. So yeah, if I was starting out somewhere, I'd do the same game plan that I did when I started here, right? Okay. Which is listen and ask a lot of questions, right? And so, yeah, I've had a great opportunity to work for a lot of great leaders, right? Whether it's Steve Cannon and the list goes on. But one thing they're really good at, one thing I learned early on is, you know, get out there, get on the front line, you know, that old adage of manage by walking around, right? Really does work. So for me, it's, you got to get out there. You got to go out and get involved in every area of the business and understand it from the front line. You know, that quote always comes up to me, you know, 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It's always this joke about, you know, any movie you can link Kevin Bacon to, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing here. You can't sit in the corporate offices. You've got to get close to the front of retail and basically get entrenched yourself in every aspect of the business, listen to those leaders, and really understand that part of the business. That for me is always the best place to start. Yeah. And asking a lot of questions and holding judgment in terms of like some of the changes or initiatives that you want to make, because you need to see the full 360. You know, one of the great programs we have here too is called Walk in My Shoes, Lou.
Yeah.
And so for new hires, we provide an opportunity for folks to work, you know, with our safe and security team on an event day, or the food and beverage team, or our guest services team, right? And so they're on the front lines. And so one, it gives them empathy for, you know, all of our thousands of team members every day, and understanding of their role, gives them insights in terms of what those roles are about, but also gets them get a perspective for them to share our different ideas that they see. And from their feedback, you know, they see things that we haven't seen before, and we can make changes, right? As well as be an advocate for you know, the team members that they're working alongside, whether it's food and beverage. So an example I'll give you is, you know, years ago, I think our chief revenue officer worked as a guest service seating host, and we sold SRO tickets, and the ticket actually had a seat number on it and a section and all that, but it was an SRO, standing room only, right? And so, you know, it was creating confusion with the guests and guest services, et cetera. Because it had the seat number and stuff still on there and section number and row. So by the chief revenue officer being on the front line, listening to the event day team members, he brought that back. We changed that for the next event. And there are similar things like that. So by getting on the front line, listening, and learning, which is basically learning, and asking a lot of questions, for me, that's the best place to start, always.
Always, yeah. Well, you know, obviously the NFL recognizes your great work and your staff as the number one fan experience across the NFL this past season. And what does it take to be the best, though? Really, what does it take to be the best?
Yeah. So for us, you know, on an event day like the Falcons, we could have up to 4,000 or 5,000 event day team members, right?
Yeah.
For us, you know, to create the best, one, it's founded in, as we talked about at the start of this conversation, great core values and a great culture, right? And the, you know, what we want from individuals to achieve is not just functional performance. Like if I'm a head of security, or I'm in security somewhere on the front line, you know, at a gate, or I'm in food and beverage on the front of concession stand, or I'm a guest service seating host. They could all operate from a functional performance perspective in those roles, right? How the job description's written. But we want them to, you know, have an impact performance. And so people always ask me, what's the difference, functional and impact performance, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's because we empower our guest service seating host, right? So through our core values. So they are charged to create a great experience, right? So not only is it, you know, training, obviously, you know, for them, making sure that they're learning and growing each and every event and developing, enabling them with the tools and the skills that they need, appreciating, recognizing them, but giving them examples of what great looks like versus what good looks like, right? And so storytelling is a big part of that in terms of, you know, sometimes, you know, excellence is an abstract term.
Yeah.
And sometimes just the way individuals themselves define excellence can actually prevent them from achieving it. And so we utilize not only the great training and the development of skills and the empowerment, but storytelling plays a huge part in the sense of, you know, defining what excellence looks like. And so team members can quickly see, okay, that's what greatness looks like. So across our organization, we've got everything, obviously, like other venues, food and beverage, IT, you know, security, safety, guest services, ticketing, live events, game, all these different departments all have to work together, but they all share the same set of core values, same, you know, purpose. They're all in the same meetings, before the meeting, after a meeting, and even during meetings, where we're very self-critical of ourselves in terms of what's going well, what isn't. And our goal after every event is to make sure that that next event is even better than the previous one. So it's a relentless pursuit of high standards, holding each other accountable, being really, you know, rigorous with our after action reviews, and our actions and our listening and responding and looking to innovate, you know, continuously.
How do you acknowledge, you know, you're putting people to high standards, they work hard. How do you acknowledge your people?
Yeah, so that's one of the key points for sure, in that, like, everyone wants to feel like they're masterful in their role. So that's where training and development, investing in our team members is important. The second part of that is, obviously, they feel like they're growing, they're learning on a continuous basis, that we're investing in them. But most importantly is also just showing that appreciation and recognition for team members. So we have a number of ways of doing that, right? So we have a value and actions program where folks can get on the spot recognition through our value and action coins. We have a team member store where they can, again, select whatever, you know, merchandise they want, you know, from gathering up those different coins of appreciation. We have team huddles where we recognize team members on a regular basis. So during an event, whether it's a leadership briefing, right, or it's part of a small team, let's say within guest services, 20 folks or so that are responsible for escalators, that team also has a recognition moment opportunity for before every event. And then, you know, we have things like the biggest place for recognition for us is what we call the Heroes of Hospitality. So we built an entire wall where we have a ceremony, and it is literally a ceremony, Lou. Where we have a book with all of the stories that are enshrined, so to speak, from the day the stadium opened, that recognizes all of those heroes of hospitality. And so we have people on the wall there who have saved people's lives to, you know, from an EMS perspective. We have folks up there who have done amazing things from a guest service perspective. Ticketing, you know, helped a fan that came to a concert on the wrong day and still made it work for them, right? We have amazing things that our safe team members do, our lost and found team. So what's great about it is it's a huge ceremony. They get to come in with their family. We recognize them. Executives are there to do the presentations. The wall is right outside the going suites, which is where Arthur's suite is. So Arthur gets to see it all the time. Yeah. They're, like I said, they're enshrined in what I would describe almost as like as a Harry Potter book or, and it's, again, it's probably one of the most moving ceremonies because their family gets to be there and be a part of it. And then after that ceremony, they get to go enjoy a match or a Falcons game. They get to enjoy a suite experience, right? Really kind of like elevating them and get paid for the day, right? So we try and make it this really amazing experience and make sure that recognition and appreciation, you know, no matter who you are, whether you are, you know, working in ticketing or you're the chairman of the board, everybody wants to be appreciated. I haven't met a person yet who doesn't want to be appreciated, right? And the really good news about it, Lou, is when you appreciate, have a great recognition program,
yeah,
not only does it do, you know, wonders for storytelling and the examples and recognizing that individual, but the people who are giving out that appreciation, we all know what it feels like to appreciate someone. It makes us feel good too, right? So it's comes full circle, and it's got to be part of your everyday. Like if you don't wake up grateful every day, you know, appreciate someone every day, you're really missing an opportunity to start your day right.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about the human side of this whole journey. Let's talk about technology for a minute or two, Harry. You know, without good data, we don't maybe can't get to the bottom line here. So tell us what you're doing when it comes to the whole data processing, digital transformation, et cetera.
Yeah, so yeah, data plays a huge part in so many of the innovations that have happened at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, right? So the example would, I'd start with, I'm just going to give you a chronology of like a few of them, but fan-friendly pricing, right? So when we opened the stadium, you know, we wanted to make sure that fans could come and enjoy, you know, a game and, you know, have a family of four, maybe get some merchandise, some food, and not spend, you know, $200, spend $50, right, as an example. And so, you know, we lowered our prices by more than 50%. And so that may not sound like, oh, wow, that's going to be a great business innovation there. But it was, because more folks came to the stadium, right, than ever before. The average ticket price on food and beverage went up, right? So higher revenues, greater profits. So that's just an example, right, of being really smart around using the information we know, because we created a value proposition that was better than what fans were used to before, right?
Right.
And we answered what they needed. When we went from to a cashless stadium, likewise, similar thing there where, hey, no, we could cut out some hard costs, right, in terms of, you know, just keeping track of cash, et cetera, and we can improve the fan experience at the same time. And this is through, you know, cash-to-card machines throughout the stadium and becoming a cashless stadium, right, without displacing folks who want to use cash.
Yeah.
So they can use those machines. On the security side, you know, we're used to the magnetometers, but
during COVID, though, how did COVID help you?
Well, I think that old adage of, you know, creativity loves constraints, I think it helped everybody, right? So everybody had to start thinking out of the box, right? So whether it was how we were going to use the digital boards during game presentations, et cetera, right, to do halftime shows or do an anthem, right, when you weren't allowed to, you know, basically do that according to policy and rules and so forth. So the biggest examples I'll give you is like, you know, mobile order, right? So that was accelerated as a result of that. Sit and sip. This was a program where you could order a beer or, you know, a glass of wine or whatever, have it delivered to your seat as opposed to standing online. Food locker technology, right? Where you could order ahead and pick up utilizing technology like robotic technology for alcoholic beverages and different drinks, right? It's almost like a electronic robotic, you know, bartender, right? But one of the biggest things, Lou, was on the security side. This is where our head of security, Joe Kuma, was really way ahead on things. And he started Evolve technology, which basically replaced our magnetometers at all the gates, you know, throughout the stadium. And that really sped up, you know, ingress, right? To the point where, you know, we can move thousands of people in, you know, a very short amount of time through a security, safety, and checkpoint. So, and I think a lot of other venues now are following that similar path and utilizing or starting to utilize that technology, create that frictionless environment, right?
Yeah. Where, if you look at the journey, you said there's over 100 touch points. Where do we really need to work on next? What's the next generation of the fan experience?
Yeah, so I think you see a lot of, you know, organizations trying to work on something what I would think is around three principles. You want it to be easy, efficient, and fun, right? I mean, we want folks when they come in, I think we all do as a fan, right, as a guest, as a customer, we want to be able to drive in, park, walk into the building, right, and spend the least amount of time, let's say, on lines and the most amount of our time doing the things we want to in that stadium, whether it be sitting at the seat or, you know, going out and looking at an activation somewhere in the concourses or visiting a merch, you know, retail store, whatever it is. So fast, easy, efficient, and fun. And that's where technology will play a huge part. So so if you think about it from an ingress standpoint, if you're at the gate, you know, we've already kind of solved that one with Evolve technology. We're not taking stuff out of our pockets and not using magnetometers. Biometrics will be the next step as part of that, right? In terms of, you know, whether it's, you know, fingerprints or facial recognition. And we've started piloting facial recognition and frictionless with our premium. So you think about that experience. Now I walk in, you know, not taking stuff out of my pockets. I walk up and I'm recognized that I have tickets, right? And so I get entry. And so, inside the building right now, we have frictionless markets, you know, so you can literally walk into, you know, one of those markets and get, you know, hot food, cold food, a drink, and walk out, you know, and your car discharged as you walked out based upon what you picked up. So I think the use of technology to, again, make it easy, efficient, and fun, whether it's at a concession stand, whether it's at a bar, whether it's at a retail store, or any other element, make that as quick and easy and even fun, pretty cool. Frictionless market is pretty cool. And this way you go, you know, be with your friends, enjoy the game, be in your seats, root on your team, root on your heroes, and then personalize it, right? The last piece I would say is, you know, I'm looking forward to the day where that technology also, Lou, as you step up to the bar, is recognizing you and saying, Lou, welcome back. We know your favorite beer is XYZ. Would you like that again? Or is there something else I can get to you? So the more we can make it an intimate relationship, we can personalize it, connect it to you, to know that we realize you, we appreciate you, and, you know, do all we can to make it a wow experience, you know?
Yeah. And you're doing that, obviously. The NFL recognizes you for that. And a staff culture that's strong and engaged and passionate. The word passion does come out with your staff, as I've experienced myself. You know, but this whole thing, Harry, centers around leadership. And you have brought to them, meaning AMB, great deal of experience in leadership. What is the one or two important lessons or beliefs that you can leave with us before we, you know, leave the podcast here?
Yeah, thanks for the kind words, Lou. So one of the things, I'm surrounded by great leaders at this business. I can tell you that much. That's one of the fun. So, leadership beliefs that I think I probably shared them a little bit earlier. But one is ask a lot of questions. Ask a lot of questions, right? For me, that's really important. And two is, you know, listen more than you speak. Listen more than you speak. Because you know, typically everywhere I've found is you got a lot of great people inside the business. They're really smart. If you give them a chance, you know, they'll, you know, give you the answers to the test, in terms of, you know, what it is that you're looking for in terms of whether it's improving or innovating, whatever it is. I think listening, I mean, asking a lot of questions are the biggest thing. And then I think the third piece I would say to you is that the secret sauce, I think, of all of Arthur's businesses that they're all blessed by is, you know, from the outside, Lou, it looks like a collection of, because Arthur has Atlanta Falcons, right? He's got Atlanta United. He's got a bunch of amazing ranches that are luxury ranches out in Montana that are used for philanthropic as well as, you know, commercial purposes. PGA Tour Superstore, as well, and all those stores around the country, the Family Foundation. So it's just amazing collection of companies or organizations, and what people sometimes see as a collection of, you know, companies from the outside is really all purpose from the inside.
Inside.
And the way he's achieved that, or way we achieve that, is, again, I think excellence can only come about when you have a really healthy, thriving culture. And you only have a healthy, thriving culture when, in my opinion, you've created happiness inside your businesses. Mm. And happiness comes from people connecting to a passion, which is something they want to do with, you know, their life. That's why they come to join our team, and connecting to a purpose of how they're being of service to others. And again, with all the businesses that we're surrounded by within the Blank family of businesses, we are surrounded by passion and purpose. Yeah. And I think if that's one thing that you can achieve within your business, that's where, you know, the sky's the limit, because then you're really tapping into everyone's, you know, volition or voluntary effort, and, you know, giving everything they can, right, to make an impact. Because, and for us, it's pretty easy to get excited. We do all this great work, and, you know, we get to fuel a foundation that makes a difference in the world, right? Whether it's in Georgia, around the United States, around the world, Arthur's Foundation makes a difference through all their grant giving.
Yeah. You've been spending a lot of time lately with the foundation. Tell us a little bit of some of the efforts you are involved.
Yeah. So one of the things I got the privilege to work on is something called the Family Fund, Lou. So it's just another extension of the core values coming to life. So when Arthur and Bernie created Home Depot, they created the Homer Fund. What is the Homer Fund? The Homer Fund was a fund set up where associates, and again, Home Depot, I think, has nearly 500,000, contribute to a fund so that in the case of, you know, an emergency situation or personal catastrophic situation happens to another associate that leaves them in financial peril and hardship, this fund is there to provide a grant to them, whether it's a house fire, you know, a natural disaster, the loss of a loved one, you name it, you know, anything that's an extraordinary, you know, emergency situation for an associate. And so that's been going on for 23 or 24 years. Wow. So we've created within the Blank family of businesses, the Family Fund. Yeah. I'm the executive chairman for that. Arthur's made, you know, the initial contribution, and now associates are funding that fund. And similarly, it's there to support other associates in times of need. Again, whether it's a house fire, a flood, you know, loss of a family member, you name it, right, from the standpoint of an emergency situation or catastrophic personal events. So it's just another example of, again, Arthur's book is Good Company. You want to read about a good company. You're in good company when you're in one of Arthur's businesses. And it's a good company, right, because it's connected to purpose and passion and mission, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, thanks, Harry. Great insights today. Enjoyed getting a chance to connect again. And if folks want to connect with you and learn a little bit more, how can they contact you, Harry?
Yeah, sure. They can reach out by email. It's Harry, H-A-R-R-Y, dot. And the last name is H-Y-N-E-K-A-M-P, at ambse.com.
Oh, that's good. Well, thanks so much, Harry. Looking forward to our continued relationship. And thanks for being a distinguished fellow for the IIFX as well.
So it's an honor and privilege, and I appreciate being on the council as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, all.